Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all lines are in listen-only mode for the duration of today's conference. This conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Today's conference will feature question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star one. We'll now turn the call over to our speaker for today, Ms. Jennifer Smith. Ma'am, you may begin.
Good afternoon. This is Jennifer Smith, Chief of the Media Relations Branch in the Census Bureau's Public Information Office. I'd like to welcome everyone listening in on the phones today and following the webinar online. If you need access to the slides for today's webinar, please visit the media advisory on census.gov for updated access information. Tomorrow at 10 a.m., we will embargo the 2010 to 2014 American Community Survey five-year statistics for public release on Thursday, December 3rd. This webinar will help you prepare for the release of the 2010 to 2014 American Community Survey data products. Our speaker today is Kaneen Reese, a survey statistician in the Social, Economic, and Housing Statistics Division. Here's an overview of what we're going to cover today. First, Kaneen will talk about our upcoming American Community Survey data releases, including tomorrow's release and upcoming public use microdata sample releases. She'll give a very brief overview of the American Community Survey with some basics on American Community Survey five-year estimates and how to use them. This will give you a better understanding of what will be embargoed tomorrow and publicly released on Thursday. Next, she'll talk about the five-year American Community Survey geography and data products, including what's new and notable in tomorrow's release. She'll walk through American Community Survey data and documentation and the various tools used to access our products and where you can find much of the information covered in today's webinar. She'll also preview our relatively new five-year mapping tool, Census Business Builder. This new interactive tool allows small business owners to not only get a sense of what businesses are prevalent in an area, but using American Community Survey data, what demographic, social, and economic and housing characteristics make up the community. After a question and answer session, Kaneen will give you a walkthrough of how to access block group level data on American FactFinder. Data available via FactFinder, these data are available via FactFinder rather than a separate FTP site. Please note that for the question and answer session, we will give first priority for questions to journalists on the line who are preparing news stories for the release. We would ask that others who have questions hold those until the second round of Q&A, which will follow the American FactFinder block group demonstration. And now I'll turn it over to Kaneen Reese.
Thank you, Jennifer. Before I begin, I'd like to say a special thank you to our American Community Survey respondents for their participation in the survey. Without them, we would not have these data, which are so important for America's communities. Tomorrow, the 2010 to 2014 ACS five-year data will be available for early embargo access and publicly released on Thursday. These estimates cover the 2010 through 2014 time period. This is the sixth release of the five-year ACS data and consists of over 3.8 billion individual estimates and over 578,000 geographies. Media embargo will be available tomorrow, Tuesday, December 1st. Products available on our embargo release include all products available on American FactFinder. These products include all five-year tabulated data products, as well as estimates in our survey file format. These include estimates of all geographic areas, regardless of population size. Our public release will be the morning of Thursday, December 3rd. In addition to the five-year tables and five-year summary file that are available during the embargo period, on Thursday, the rest of our data products will be available. They include our narrative profile, which is available on the ACS website. And we also have tools that will be refreshed with the 2014 five-year data, including Data Ferret, the Census API, and web-based applications, EasyStats, and QuickFacts. And finally, our new five-year interactive tool called Census Business Builder will be available with 2014 data. This is a tool for those looking to start a business, but as you will see, this is an excellent mapping tool to quickly access ACS data for areas down to the track level. We will show you how to access these estimates through all of these methods later in the presentation. Before we delve into the details of Thursday's five-year data release, I wanted to take an opportunity to highlight some upcoming releases for the ACS PUMS files. The ACS PUMS files are a set of untabulated records about individual people or housing units that are created for the Public Use Microdata Areas, or PUMAs, which are geographic areas limited in size to ensure confidentiality. These files allow data users to create custom tables that are not available through pre-tabulated ACS data products. The 2010 to 2014 five-year PUMS file will be available on Thursday, January 21st. And please note the URL at the bottom of the slide for additional information on the PUMS file. And now for some basic information on the American Community Survey. The ACS is an ongoing survey that samples about 3.5 million addresses per year, making it the largest federal housing unit survey. The American Community Survey is a nationwide survey designed to provide communities with reliable and timely demographic, housing, social, and economic data every year. In fact, the ACS collects data on a wide range of demographic, social, economic, and housing characteristics, many of which were formerly collected in long form in the decennial census. Census 2000 was the last decennial census to collect both short and long form, and since the ACS replaced the long form information, the 2010 census only asked the short form questions. The ACS was fully implemented in 2005, added group quarters in 2006, and expanded our sample in 2011. The ACS publishes estimates annually in the form of 1 in 5 year estimates for small geographic areas and population groups. One thing that distinguishes ACS from other federal surveys is that you'll get data from much smaller pieces of geography and smaller groups than you will from any other survey. ACS has social, economic, and housing characteristic data for your community, such as information on veterans, education, language, and home value, income, and health insurance. We also have demographic data, such as sex, age, race, and Hispanic origin. Now that we've discussed what the ACS is, let's talk about what the five-year estimates are. Before we begin, it's important to understand the concept of a period estimate because all ACS estimates are period estimates. A period estimate describes the average characteristics of an area over a specific period of time, not a single point in time as in the case of the decennial census. In the case of ACS one-year estimates, the period is a calendar year. Estimates for the five-year release describe the population and housing characteristics from January 1, 2010 through December 31, 2014. Five-year estimates are not an average of the one-year ACS estimates. The ACS survey data are pulled together across 60 months for the five-year data. After the data are pulled together, they are updated with the geographic boundaries of the last year of the period, so in our case, 2014, and then assigned the appropriate weights to produce population and housing estimates. Weights are adjusted using population and housing totals controlled for age, sex, race, and Hispanic origin, which are derived from the Census Bureau's Population Estimates Program. And finally, income and dollar estimates are then adjusted for inflation based on the most recent year of the period. The latest five-year estimates are adjusted for 2014 dollars. Now that we've discussed the five-year estimates and how they're created, we'll talk about when they should be used. First, five-year estimates must be used when no one-year estimate is available. Unless a geographic area has a population greater than or equal to 65,000, that geography will rely on five-year estimates. Second, in general, you would want to use five-year estimates when the margins of error for one-year estimates are larger than desired. A margin of error is a measure of sampling variability, which are presented next to all ACS estimates. So, for example, five-year estimates are helpful when analyzing small population groups because of the higher margins of errors associated with them. Also, if you're comparing several geographies and one or more of the geographies do not receive one-year estimates due to the population size, you will have to use five-year estimates. ACS data users are encouraged to make comparisons only with non-overlapping data. We're very excited that this is the first year that you're able to compare five-year data to other five-year non-overlapping data. This year, you compare your 2010 to 2014 data with the 2005 to 2009 five-year data. These non-overlapping data sets allow a comparison of unique data with unique data. So for reporters looking for guidance on statistical testing for comparisons, please refer to your press kit for an instruction guide. If you do have additional questions, please contact the Public Information Office for more information. So a quick reminder, only compare estimates in the same data set. So you compare 1 year with 1 year and 5 year with 5 year only. 5 year non-overlapping data, of course. Users should not compare 1 year estimates with 5 year estimates. And 5 year estimates are helpful when you compare across geographies because all geographies are represented in the 5 year as opposed to the 1 year where not all geographies make the 1 year population threshold. So, for example, for 5 year, all counties are available regardless of population size. Similarly, in the 5 year estimates are also great for making comparisons across subpopulations like ancestry and language. Additionally, when making comparisons, we recommend comparing percentages, means, medians, and rates instead of tally totals whenever possible. Since ACS questions and content can change over time, if you're interested in making comparisons, please refer to the comparison guidance documentation on the ACS website. To access our comparison documentation pages, start at the ACS website, which is census.gov/ACS, and on your left-hand navigation guide, click on Guidance for Data Users, and then underneath, Comparing ACS Data, and a drop-down will provide for the year. In our cases, we're going to take 2014. The comparison guidance tool shows specific subject area guidance for comparing. New this year is our guidance for comparing 5 year to 5 year. So the 2010 to 2014 to the 2005 and 2009 comparison guidance is now available on the website. The documentation will help you when you're trying to compare a topic to 2005-2009. In most cases, the data are comparable, but in some cases, due to questionnaire changes, coding changes, or population control differences, the data are not comparable or should be compared with caution. It's important to reference this documentation first to make sure that the data you are interested in should be compared. And beyond 5 year to 5 year comparisons, if you're interested in making comparisons all the way back to Census 2000, there is a ACS Census Table Comparison Tool to help data users find the equivalent census table in ACS or vice versa, the ACS table back to 2000 census. This tool is accessible on the ACS website under Guidance for Data Users and then Comparing ACS Data and ACS Census Table Lookup. Now let's talk about the geographies and products available in the 5 year ACS data, as well as what are new and notable for the release. First, the geography. The 5 year estimates include all geographic areas down to block group level, over 578,000 geographic areas, and 87 different summary levels are available for the 5 year. Unlike the 1 year ACS releases, geographies do not have to meet a particular population threshold in order to be published. Geographies in the 5 year release include nation, all states, including Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico, all metropolitan areas, all congressional districts, so we're in the 114th Congress currently, all counties and places, all tracts and block groups being the smallest level of geography produced by ACS. And please note the URL at the bottom of the slide for more information on 5 year geographies. So now for the data products. The 5 year release consists of the following data products located on American FactFinder. You have data profiles, which are select estimates and percentages for a particular geography on a variety of topics in one table. There are profiles for social, economic, housing, and demographic characteristics. We also have geographic comparison tables, or GCTs. These tables allow you to easily compare geographies to one another. Then we also have subject tables that contain estimates and percentages with detailed information by topic. And there's 69 subject tables available. And we also have detailed tables. These tables contain estimates and margins of error only. They're organized by topic and are the most detailed tables of our product package. There are over 1,000 detailed tables for 5 year, and these detailed tables by geography are also available in the 5 year summary file. Other products reside on different sites and will be available Thursday morning. The narrative profile is published as a hot report, but it's not housed on ASF, but it is located on the ACS website. Finally, there's also a number of data tools that will be refreshed with the 2010 to 2014 five-year data. These data tools include DataFerret, Census API, EasyStats, QuickFacts, and Census Business Builder. This year, we have 9 new tables for five-year that will be available during our embargo period. We have 2 foreign-born, 2 employment status tables, and 5 health insurance tables. Please keep in mind that since these tables are new this year, these tables will not have a counterpart for 2005 to 2009 if you're trying to make a comparison. So for the 2 foreign-born tables, we have B05013, which provides estimates of 1-year age intervals for the foreign-born population. And we also have very similar B05014, which provides estimates in 10-year age intervals for the foreign-born population. Of our 2 employment status tables, we have B23026 that provides estimates for usual hours worked per week by weeks worked for the 65 and over population. Then we also have B23027, which provides estimates for full-time year-round work status by age for the population of 16 years and over. For our health insurance tables, we have 2 work experience tables. We have C27013, sex by work experience for the private health insurance coverage. And then we also have C27014, that's sex by work experience for the public health insurance coverage. We have 2 income to poverty ratio tables, C27017, income to poverty ratios by private health insurance by age. And then we also have its counterpart, C27018, income to poverty ratios by public health insurance coverage by age. And finally, we have B27023, private health insurance coverage by school enrollment for the young adults aged 19 to 25. In addition to our new tables, we also have some notable data product modifications, including 2 housing tables were modified to expand the burden categories to include up to 50% or more burden. Previously, that limit was 35% or more. For B25074, gross rent as a percentage of household income, and also B25095, selected monthly owner cost as a percentage of household income. The title for data detail table B05005 is now period of entry, where it was formerly year of entry. This is strictly a label change. The underlying data are the same and still comparable. Finally, as a cost-saving measure for our survey, summary level 070, state, county, county subdivision, place, remainder, or part, was streamlined down to 15 tables needed for delineation of metropolitan, micropolitan, and related statistical areas, as well as some basic demographic and housing analysis. This summary level is extremely small, and the 15 tables that will continue to be published are the ones necessary for that very specific geography. If you're one of the very few who are using this very specific geography, we encourage you to use block group level estimates in its place. So this is just a list of some of our notable changes. The full list of the data product changes are available online at the URL at the bottom of the screen. As a reminder, all these products are available on our main dissemination tool for ACS, American Fact Finder. You can access AFF on factfinder.census.gov. Most data users are familiar with accessing AFF, but if you need additional guidance, there is a fantastic walkthrough of the tool in your press kit under the one-year webinar. Additionally, after the question and answer session, for those who are interested, I'll give you a quick walkthrough of how to use the AFF Download Center, which is very helpful for accessing large amounts of geographies such as block groups. Along with all of the data products on AFF, the five-year summary file, which is a unique data product that includes all the estimates and margins of error for the detailed tables and geography that are published for the ACS. Like AFF, the summary file will be available tomorrow during our embargo period. To access this data from the ACS website, on the left navigational side, select Data, and then select Summary File Data, and then 5-Year Summary File in the middle of your screen. Now for the products that will be available on Thursday morning. The 5-Year Narrative Profile is one of our most popular products. It is not available on American Fact Finder, but it is available on the ACS website. This product is a prose report that describes a geographic area by providing text and graphics for 15 different ACS topic areas. The narrative profile is extremely helpful to novice to intermediate data users as it interprets the data as a pre-generated report. Users can choose to produce a report on all 15 topics or just a subset. And reports can be generated for the nation, states, including D.C. and Puerto Rico, counties, places, metropolitan and micropolitan areas, ZICAs, which is our zip codes, tracts, and American Indian Alaskan Native areas, Hawaiian homeland. To access the 5-year narrative profile, go to the ACS website. On the left-hand side, click on the tab for data, and then data tables and tools, and then under that, there's a link to the narrative profile. Or you can use the URL at the bottom of the screen that'll take you there directly. The data tool updates. As I've mentioned, several of our data tools will also be refreshed with 2010 to 2014 5-year ACS data on Thursday. These tools include Data Ferret, Census API, EasyStats, QuickFacts, and Census Business Builder. EasyStats, QuickFacts, and Census Business Builder can all be accessed by going to the main Census website at census.gov, select Data on your top toolbar, and then under Data, Tools, and Apps, you'll find a link to each of these tools. As a reminder, EasyStats is an interactive tool that gives you a quick and easy access to 5-year ACS estimates by detailed race and Hispanic or Latino origin. QuickFacts is an easy-to-use application that shows tables, maps, and charts of frequently requested statistics from more than 10 Census Bureau censuses, surveys, and programs. Profiles are available for the nation, states, all counties, and cities and towns with a population of 5,000 or more. You will see a walkthrough of Census Business Builder, which is a mapping tool geared for small business owners, a little later in the presentation. All three of these tools allow data users a quick and easy way to view our 5-year ACS data. For more advanced users, Data Ferret is a data analysis and extraction tool that allows data users to customize federal, state, and local data to suit their needs. Using Data Ferret, you can develop customized spreadsheets, which can then be turned into graphs and maps without any additional software. If you're interested in being able to customize your data, go to dataferret.census.gov. And finally, the Census API, which is the application programming interface, is a great way for developers to quickly and easily access our data. Right here is the home page. On this page, there's also information about our City SDK. City SDK is a software development kit aimed at providing user-friendly toolbox for developers to connect local and national public data. The creation of the SDK came out of the desire to make it easier to use the Census API for common tasks that our developer community have asked for. We have built the most commonly needed functionalities from the API right into SDK, saving the developer from having to do it him or herself. If you're interested in this way of accessing the data, go to census.gov/developers. Now that we've discussed the products for the release and where you can find them, I'll show you where you can find some helpful documentation about the ACS. The best place to find information on the ACS is from the ACS website at census.gov/ACS. Several months ago, the ACS website was updated with a new look and feel, but with the same helpful information. The tabs to the left help guide you to what you need, including news and updates, data, guidance for data users, technical documentation, and so forth. As you navigate through the website, please remember to update your bookmarks. The website is pretty intuitive, but I wanted to highlight just a couple of useful pages. Information on the 2014 data release is now under News and Updates. This section gives you a variety of information specific for this release all in one place. This section includes news and notable information, a release schedule, and sends you to the Table and Geography Changes section, which was formerly the Data Product Changes, where it gives you the detailed list of all products and geography changes for this release. The other page I wanted to highlight is the technical documentation page. In the left navigation bar under technical documentation, there's a list of important documentation that will help you better understand the ACS data. So we have links to code lists or detailed codes for variables like ancestry or occupation. We also have subject definitions, which are definitions of the variables, group quarter definitions, summary file documentation, instructions for how applying statistical testing, which are basic instructions for obtaining the ACS standard errors needed to do statistical testing. We also have accuracy of the data, which is a basic explanation of the sample design, estimation methodology, and we also have links to user notes and errata notes. Now that you know about our release and where to find the data, I want to highlight one of our newer tools, the Census Business Builder, or CBB, which will be refreshed with 2010 to 2014 five-year data on Thursday. The tool was initially designed for small business owners to help determine the best location for their businesses. ACS data is provided to give data users a better understanding of their potential customers, but as you will see, you don't have to be a small business owner to benefit from this tool. Just some quick background on the tool first. It is easy to use. In total, there are four quick steps. Select your business, select a location, browse the data, and then generate a report. The tool is also customer-focused, so data users were involved in the tool's design from the very beginning through a series of 12 focus groups held across the country. This tool also uses varied data sources. So it's the five-year ACS data, along with business-based economic census, county business pattern, and non-employer statistics data from census was used, as well as private sector consumer spending data. We're very proud that this tool crosses not only census demographic and economic business data, but also our outside private sector data. An important feature and first for the census is the mapping software has been standardized for both demographic surveys like ACS and the economic business data. And finally, very important to our ACS data users, this tool has 32 ACS variables available down to the track level. The variables range from demographic, such as average household size and detailed race, also social and economic variables like poverty, health insurance coverage, and average travel time to work, and housing variables like median home value and year structure built. In the interest of time, I'll be showing you screenshots of the tool instead of a live demonstration. So here's the landing page for CBB. As you can see, the application is really simple to use. To begin, just click the industry of the business you're interested in based on the initial six categories. For our purposes, we selected healthcare. Once you've selected the industry, you select a more detailed business category within display. In this case, we chose home healthcare. So for those of you who aren't small business owners, you can choose any business. The ACS data will remain the same no matter what industry or business you choose. As you'll see, this tool is a great way to view our ACS five-year data through the mapping software. Now you select the location you're interested. We selected Davidson County, Tennessee. You could have searched for the city, which is Nashville, zip code, or even track, but let's begin by looking at the data by county. The map opens with total population displayed as the default variable. You can then browse the data using the map. The map includes all the usual mapping features like pan and zoom, and it also has a transparency slider that allows you to get a better view of the base map. To select other variables, go to the top, second tab from the right, select map variables. You select the data you'd like to view on the map. There are three broad categories there at the top, My Potential Customers, which is our ACS data, other businesses like mine, which is the census economic business data, and then Consumer Spending, which is our private sector data. looking under My Potential Customers, you can then select what type of data, demographic, socioeconomic, or housing. We chose socioeconomic characteristics since our business is healthcare-based, and then we chose percent disabled. The map then displays the percent disabled estimate for Davidson County, Tennessee, in the bottom left-hand corner. As I mentioned, the tool not only displays data at a county level, but also by place, zip code, and track. At the top of the map, you can toggle between county, city, town, zip code, and neighborhood, neighborhood being our ACS track level data. And you can also apply a filter based on a user-defined criteria. At the top bar, far right, click Add Filter. You can then go through the variable list to collect to define a criteria. We chose median household income. And now you're able to define the value of your criteria. In our case, we clicked about $109,000 or more for median household income. This will allow the map to only display data for the areas with median household income greater than $109,000. And here you see the map repaint. And what you see here is the disabled, percent disabled only for tracts with median household income greater than $109,000. Not to forget our census friends on the economic business side. You can also use the business-based economic data to get a better sense of the businesses and industries in your selected area. After you've browsed the data, you can create a report for your selected area. Under the estimate in the bottom left-hand side, click on Create Report. And there you have it. The report gives you all the data available in the tool for your selected geography. This report can be downloaded, printed, or shared. For more information about this tool, go to the CBB homepage at cbb.census.gov. There are tutorial videos, links, and other helpful documentation.
Thanks, Kaneen. Now we're going to take a pause and take questions before we move on to our next topic on how to access block group data on American FactFinder. First, we will take calls from media. We ask that you state your name and media affiliation when you ask a question. We want to give all media an opportunity to ask a question. Therefore, we will allow one question with one follow-up. You can dial star one for the operator. Operator, do we have any questions?
There are currently no questions in queue.
Okay. While we're waiting, we want to remind you that there is a user group specifically for users of ACS data. The data user group was formed in partnership with the Population Reference Bureau. It's a great way to learn from your peers about how to use ACS data for all kinds of applications. Currently, there are almost 1,400 users. Go to acsdatausers.org to learn more. And operator, do we have any questions?
We do have a few questions in queue. One moment for the name, please.
Okay. While we're waiting, also for questions, just to also let you know, you can follow us on social media. The social media sites we're on are listed on your screen. And we also currently have a thunderclap that will go out on to let people know about the new ACS data that are being released. So you can check out the link for the thunderclap on your screen if you'd like to join or find out more information about it.
And we do have our first question from Joe with Argus Leader Media. Your line is open.
Okay, Joe, hi there.
Hi, just wondering, will this webinar be able to be replayed, accessible online after this?
Yes, we'll post it in the online press kit following today's webinar. It usually takes about a day to get posted, but you can find it on census.gov if you go to the newsroom. There's a section on press kits in the newsroom, and click on the press kit for the ACS five-year data release, and that's where it'll be posted.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Sharon with SilicaValleyOneWorld.com. Your line is open.
Hi, how are you all?
Good, how are you?
We're fine, thank you. Hey, help us understand why we can only compare non-overlapping five-year data with five-year data. Okay, so to help us understand that, you also said something earlier about the idea that the one-year data and the five-year data, that the one-year that you guys don't just average the one-year data to get to the five-year data, that you actually go back and reevaluate all the data within the 5 years that's been collected. Help us understand the implications of that. And then why are you telling us to use one-year data whenever we can if we have five-year data available to us? What's superior about using the one-year data versus the five-year data when you have the one-year data available to you?
Okay, so there's several questions there, it sounds like. And so
I think
we have Karen King here who can help with the comparison question.
Yes, so we prefer that you use non-overlapping data sets because there's a kind of a tricky way to, it becomes very tricky to interpret the overlapping periods. There's also some issues with the measure on the margins of error to determine whether there's actual change. So we would just prefer that you try to use distinct estimates when you compare the two. This is particularly true for your income estimates, your medians and means. What we're finding is that there's a lot of things that impact these estimates, and if you start overlapping at years, then there's just issues with interpretation and results. We're still investigating the impact of looking at overlapping and how to give more guidance. Now that we finally have non-overlapping estimates, we can, like, look at the bigger picture and give more guidance in the future. Second question, why would we want to use 5 year versus 1 year when it's available? Well, the 1 year is a very narrow period. You only have a 12-month period that you're trying to describe. We do have a threshold that you do have to consider, so there is a limit to what's available. But the 5 year estimate is a long extended period, so if you're trying to be much more specific or seeing change over time at a quicker rate, then the 1 year would benefit you more. 5 year is better because you have lower levels of geography, you know, smaller thresholds. And also for the 5 year, the margins of error would be much smaller, so you'd be possibly able to detect change now that we started to have non-overlapping panels, 5 year panels. What was the third one again?
I thought it was, why can't you compare 1 year with the 5 year?
I guess in this point, I mean, that particular issue is, again, interpretation. What does it mean when you compare the 1 year to the 5 year? Are you trying to say for the same geography, can I see a change for last year versus the previous 5 years? I just don't understand what it is that you would want to use that particular item in that particular comparison for. So I guess the big picture would be if you can get away, and I think it was mentioned, if you can, if your geography is large enough and you want to talk about something year to year, then the 1 year would be probably your best bet. But if you're looking or talking about something fairly small, then the 5 year would be better because it would be available as well as the there would be much more reasonable.
Thanks, Karen. And if you have any additional questions, just call the Public Information Office. The number is 301-763-3030, and we'll help you and walk you through when and how to make those comparisons. Operator, do we have any other questions?
There are additional questions in queue, but as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. The next question is from John with the Philadelphia Inquirer. Your line is open.
Hi. We wanted to try to compare median income in our region by municipality, and we have 340 of them, and that's not going to be so much of an issue. But we also want to try to do that within the large city of Philadelphia, and I was hoping to use zip codes as a geography, but they didn't start to be, they weren't available in the 2005-09 ACS. So I was wondering if you had any suggestions on how it may be possible to determine median income within neighborhoods of a large city, or should I use calculate average income, and because the median isn't possible to calculate?
We have Ed Welnick that's going to come help you with this question.
Hi, this is Ed. I'm chief of the income statistics branch. So your question is, you would like to look at sub-geographic entities in the Philadelphia area?
Specifically within the city of Philadelphia. So it's 1.5 million people, so I'm trying to do a finer geography.
You could look at, we certainly have tracks available. You have available to you block groups. Right. You also have available zip codes as well, or the zip codes will be out.
Right. The zip codes are available, but they weren't available for the 5 through 9 data, so you wouldn't be able to make the comparison.
Right. Okay.
So I would think track level data would be great. You can also use the block groups, the tally estimates, to aggregate them together to kind of create your own, make a more robust estimate.
Let me caution you, though, if you're trying to use medians, because by combining geographic groups or geographic entities and looking at medians, medians don't have the very nice mathematical properties as averages do. So if you want to aggregate different geographic areas to come up with one estimate for a larger combined area, then I would certainly suggest you use averages, yes.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've done before in Philadelphia, but I kind of like the idea of using medians in the suburban municipalities. And the problem with tracks is that the track boundaries change from 0509 to 1014. I mean, a little bit, but enough that that's going to be a little messy as well.
Right.
So the only other suggestion I can offer, along with the medians that we publish, we also show an income distribution for each of the geographic entities. So if you were to just add up the number of households that are in each of the income intervals for all of your geographic entities and then recalculate a median, you can do that as well.
Okay. All right. So I'll try that. And one last question. Is it better to use medians and averages, or if you can only do averages, is it better just to do average across the entire area we're trying to show?
Well, certainly using averages, it's so much easier mathematically because you can just take the weighted, you know, the aggregates for each and divide by the total population or the total number of households instead of having to go through the whole, you know, the whole estimation of a median after combining areas. The one drawback you have using averages is they are sensitive to extremes. So if you have some very high income areas or households, it's certainly going, your combined geography is going to be much more sensitive to those, to the influence of those high or low income areas, where a median is much more stable and it kind of ignores the extreme values and looks at what's happening in the middle.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
And the next question is from David with the Post and Courier newspaper, Charleston, North Carolina. Your line is open.
Hi, David Slade here in Charleston, South Carolina. I had a question about the margins of error. I realize your geographies go all the way down to the block group, but a number of times in the past when I've tried to use that data, I found that the margins of error were so large that I couldn't even reasonably begin to use ACS data on anything below the county level. So, and now we're looking at comparing two sets of ACS data, each with their own margins of error. And I'm hoping you can maybe give some guidance or some reassurance that when you have two sets of data which both have large margins of error at small geographies to begin with, that once you get to the point of comparing them, you're not just basically looking at numbers that might be so far in one direction or the other that they're meaningless.
Well, this is Connie. Let me jump in before Karen addresses your main part of your question. But block groups were initially created not to use the estimates themselves, but to be able to combine them with other block groups for a larger area to kind of make your estimate more robust. So that's kind of the one of the problems with block groups, but also one of the great things that you can create these own estimates themselves. I know that's not going to help you with your comparisons, but it does give you a little guidance on block groups themselves.
Okay, so this is Karen again. It's unfortunate that some of the smaller areas are based on, their estimates are based on a very few cases in order to create the estimate, and the method that we use to generate the margin of error, when you get very small groups like that, the margin of error is very difficult to, it isn't difficult to calculate, so I'm misleading you there. It's just that the result is there's a great deal of variation in there, and I cannot make comparing two numbers with two large margins of error. I can't guarantee that anything will improve when you start comparing them to get anything meaningful. It's unfortunate that many areas are really very small. And it's been the Bureau's policy not to filter out any geography based on their margins of error, whereas the 1 year is. So there really isn't any tricks that I can give you to help you in your situation there.
Okay, thank you. Operator, are there any other media questions at this time?
There are currently no other media questions at this time.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on to the next part of the presentation, and we'll have another opportunity for Q&A at the end. So I also wanted to mention before we go on that if you there are data dissemination specialists throughout the nation. If you are interested in having a presentation, learning more about the data. They do offer workshops locally, and you can, if you're interested in one, just contact the Public Information Office at pio@census.gov. Now I'll turn it back over to Kaneen. And our contact information, we'll put that on the screen at the end, but it's also here if you need to get in touch with the Public Information Office or our Customer Service Center.
Okay. Right. So now I'm just going to give you a quick demonstration on accessing the block group data using the Download Center with AFF. Okay. So block group data was added to AFF beginning in last year with the 2009 to 2013 five-year data. Last year we showed you how to access a single block group, but this year we wanted to show you how to access block groups through our Download Center. Before we begin, let's quickly go over what a block group is. Block groups are statistical divisions of census tracts and are defined to contain a minimum of 600 persons or 240 housing units with a maximum of 3,000 people or 1,200 housing units. In the American Community Survey, block groups are the lowest level of geography published. So in this slide, we're looking at block groups for Kalamazoo County, Michigan, tract 30.04 splits into three block groups 1, 2, and 3. Because the block groups nest within the tract, their combined population equals that of the tract. All right. So to access the data, go to American FactFinder at factfinder.census.gov. You then click the Download Center from the blue toolbar at the top of the screen. And then you choose the radio button, I know the data set or tables that I want to download. There. And then you click Next. All right, so under the Select a Program drop-down, select American Community Survey, and under Select a Data Set and click Add to Your Selections drop-down, we will pick the 2013 ACS five-year estimates for this demo. When the 2010 to 2014 ACS five-year estimates are released, you can choose that data set. Click on the Add to Your Selections button and then click Next. Under the Select Geographic Type drop-down, select Broad Groups, and then select a state. Choose a state of your interest. For here, we use Texas. And then under select a county, choose the county or counties of interest. You can also bypass this step and select all block groups within Texas. Under select one or more geographic areas and click add to your selection. Just to note, the Download Center is the only spot in AFF where you can get all block groups for your state. The Advanced Search tab only lets you select all block groups for your county. And then click Next. So under the search select tables to download, click the box next to your tables of interest. Here we selected table B01001, sex by age, and then you click Next. A window will appear confirming your selection, so click OK. And then another window will appear as your table is downloading. When the file is complete, click the download button to save the file to your computer. And here we've unzipped the CSV file and opened it in Excel. And you can see our geography, which are block groups in Texas, in column C, and our estimates in MOE in columns D and beyond. Remember, the exact process for unzipping and opening files may vary based on your computer. So that's it. That's the AFF Download Center. If you need guidance on how to use the advanced search in AFF, please refer to the one-year webinar available in the press kit or contact the Public Information Office.
Thanks, Kaneen. We have a few more minutes and can take some more questions. Operator, do we have any additional questions?
We currently have one question in queue, but as a reminder for those on the line, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. The first question is from Alfred with North Carolina Rural Development Center. Your line is open.
Yes, well, I'm sorry for taking you back a little bit. I was going to ask about the Census Business Builder.
And, sure.
It's cool that we can make maps with the data that's available on the website. But you mentioned that the CBB functionality can also be used to make customized maps. And I was just thinking about some customized regional maps. For example, the state where I come from, that's North Carolina, if I intend to develop a regional map on, say, eastern North Carolina, mm-hmm. and I have some selected counties I want to use, can CBB model or create a model of an integration of the selected counties and present whatever filters, present a map of whatever filters I choose to use? So basically about that, I mean, about customization functionality with the CBB. If you can explain that a little bit, I'll be very thankful.
Sure. So this is Andy Haight calling. I'm the lead developer and architect for Census Business Builder. Currently, the small business edition of CBB allows you to only look at data for a single geography at a time. But we are actually working on a second edition of Census Business Builder that is scheduled for beta release in December. The tool currently is called the Chamber of Commerce Edition, but we are looking at a rename. But what the main difference between the Small Business Edition and this second edition of the tool is going to allow you to do is do exactly what you just said, build your own geography.
Okay. The
tool will allow you to go in and select multiple, in this case, in the first release, multiple counties. And then it'll automatically aggregate the data for those multiple counties and create a profile report of the aggregated total, as well as individual profile reports of each piece of that total. In the first beta release in December, we're only going to allow you to build geographies based upon counties, but we are planning on adding in a later release the ability to build based upon smaller levels of geography, cities, zip codes, and tracks.
Wow, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Andy.
Operator, are there other questions?
That'll be it. I just pray for a quick summary when you're done with everything.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Sandra Burke with Iowa State University. Your line is open.
Hello, thank you. I apologize because I got in late on this and there was troubles getting into the webinar to start with. So my question is, now we have a set of estimates, the 5-year, from 05 to 09, and now we have this new set, which takes us from 2010 to 2014. And there's been a little discussion about comparing the two sets. But my impression was, and this is where I'm trying to ask if I'm wrong or not, the 2005 set, just the 2005, I was under the impression that that did not include group quarter populations. So I had always been thinking that to really do a comparable thing, you really needed to start with 2006. So if we start with 2006, we don't actually have a true 5-year comparison yet. So can you tell me if in 2005, were the group quarters populations included or were they not? And that's one of that's basically my question.
One second. Karen King's coming back up.
Okay. So, yes, correct. The 2005 did not have the group quarters. The collection started in 06. But there's the group quarters are adjusted in the weighting so that they their lack of 1 year, it's adjusted for. So it would be as if the population was for a full 5-year period. So I would encourage you to use the 5 to 9, even if you're looking at the group quarters.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I had always been telling people that we couldn't start until we had 2006 for 5 years. So that's good, and I appreciate the clarification. All right.
Yeah, no, you're good.
Thank you. Okay.
Operator, are there other questions?
Yes, and the next question is from Charles with Portland State University. Your line is open.
Hello, this is Charles Reinerson with the Oregon State Data Center, and wanted to confirm that if we're going to use a CPI to adjust, say, median income from 05 to 09 to constant 2014 dollars, is it okay to use the same adjustment for the margin of error?
Yes, that's fine. In fact, also when the comparison guidance documentation is available for the 5-year, I believe that's going to be on Thursday, if you'll look under income and earnings, it gives you the factor to use.
Great.
Just to clarify, this is Ed again with income, that the consumer price index that we use to adjust is the CPIURS and not just the overall CPIU. So just to make sure that you're using the same inflation adjustment tool that we use.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And our next question is from Sally with AC Transit. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Sally Goodman in Oakland, AC Transit. I have two quick questions. I also apologize I couldn't get on at the very beginning, so you may have answered this. Is language spoken at home and English language proficiency available at the block group level in this recent release? And also, is it possible to create and save a subset of block groups? Our service area overlaps parts of two counties, but we have a list of block groups that belong to us, and we'd like to save it so every time we did a search for data, we could just say, you know, go and grab the data to these block groups.
So to your first point, language down to block group level, I'm actually not 100% sure. We can get in touch with PIO with the answer.
Yeah, we'll get back to you on the answer to that question. Definitely either send us an email or give us a call, 301-763-3030 or PIO@census.gov, and we'll check on that and get back to you this afternoon.
But if you have been using that data, there's no difference. So if you weren't able to get block groups before, we didn't make any changes for that. But we were still getting back in touch with you.
Okay.
And the next part, I think Rob Chestnut's going to help you out with that.
So for the question about being able to save your block groups, when you are on advanced search and you go ahead and you complete your search, you see the table that you want to see. If you actually, in your selections, kind of the top left-hand side of your screen, there's a box that you can click on that says Save Search. We're actually going to save all those criteria you put in there. So if you typed in the table number and you have all of the block groups that you usually deal with, we'll save all of those parameters. When you come back in, you can just load that search, and it'll bring all that information right back up for you. So it's different than actually saving the table. This is saving the search terms that you entered.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, you're welcome.
The next question is from Nick with QNode Charlotte, North Carolina. Your line is open.
Hello, yeah, thank you. Actually, that last caller clarified one of my questions that I was going to ask, so I won't waste your time, and I can let somebody else ask a question.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The next question is from Marty with the Boston American Statesman. Your line.
Hey there, yeah, this is Marty with the Austin American Statesman down in Texas. I'm hoping you guys could give any tips you have for comparing ACS data 1 year, 3 year, 5 year for demographics and social characteristics with the actual census, because there are times when we want to look at, say, a 12-year or 15-year period and measure changes. And I've been a little leery because of basically comparing two different survey methods, and I'm basically wondering if it's kosher to do so or under what circumstances it might be.
So we have our comparison guidance documentation. We only talked about the five-year comparison, but we have the one, three, or previous three, and then five-year, and we have different levels of comparisons, how the 1 year goes back to Census 2000 or how the 1 year compares to the last 1 year. There's quite a different variation, and each one gives you any topic that are of concern. It's listed underneath there, so it can tell you whether you should not compare, the things are not comparable at all, or if you should use some caution with comparing, and giving you the reason why, so you can make your judgment from there.
Okay, so you guys have some basically a cheat sheet, so to speak, available that I can grab when I need it?
Right, absolutely. Right. Check out the ACS website at census.gov/ACS. And then from there, there's guidance for data users. Thank you, Gretchen. And then under that, there is a box for comparison guidance, comparing ACS data. And that will give you all of the various information.
And again, if you call the number on your screen, we'll be happy to walk you through how to get to that document on the website and help you with any questions you have about it.
Perfect.
Cool. Works for me.
All right. Thank you.
And our last question is from Young Fink with Cornell University. Your line is open.
No, this is Young Fink. I have a question. I might have missed it in the data type in the product. Will the comparison profile be available, and to what geographic detail where the comparison between those two ACS sets is done for us?
So unfortunately, due to budgetary constraints this year, we are not able to produce a five-year comparison profile. We are hoping that resources will be different for the next year so that we will be able to produce one next year, but we're still pending finding out about those resources.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And if that was our last question, I just wanted to remind you, everyone, that we do have data dissemination specialists throughout the country who can provide data workshops locally. If you're interested in a workshop, please contact the Public Information Office at PIO@census.gov. And before we end today's webinar, we ask that you take a few moments to complete the evaluation form that will be on the screen momentarily. And again, if you have any questions after the webinar and you need to reach us, just call 301-763-3030 or email pio@census.gov. Thank you, everyone, for joining today's webinar.
Thank you, and this does conclude today's conference. All parties may disconnect.